Wat 'n voorreg om saam te wees. AB sê, he has got unfinished business with us. What he wanted to teach last night was taken away from him and changed. So he can go back on the old word. Thank you, Father, for your goodness and your grace. Dankie dat u vir ons lief is. Thank you for your love. Bless us. Coming into this place, God, and bless us as we go out later. To receive from you the manna from heaven. Manna, manna in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us sing together. Last week ago, 10 days ago, last Sunday, the CD on last week is there available at the end. Kan dit kry. Vanaand sin, gisteraand sin, eers volgende week, ongelukkig. My brother, it's all yours.
I almost said, come on, said, come on, said, come on, said. Yes. I believe today we are going to share about my assignment again in here is to getting closer to God, having a working relationship with God, relating with God on a very much deep level. And it takes one to know God better. The more you know Him better, is the more He'll come close to you and you'll have different encounters. Father, men shall not live by bread alone, but by the word that comes from your mouth. Divide the word for us in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, I just want us to share about understanding altars. Amen. There's an existing altar in this church. There's an altar at home in your house. There's supposed to be an altar wherever you are following you. Now, I just want us to have an understanding of what an altar is all about. Let's start again from Joshua chapter 3, verse 8 to 17. Is there anybody who can read the Bible for me eloquently here? Like you are a TV news presenter. The old Afrikaans one. You remember SABC, how much then? I want Joshua 3 from verse 8 to 17. Understanding the mystery of an altar. The mystery of an altar. Many people shared about this subject, but I felt we're missing out on something very deep and serious. Now, you shall command the priest from verse 3 who bear the ark of the covenant. When you come to the brink of the waters of the river Jordan, you shall stand still in the Jordan. Joshua said to the Israelites, come near, hear the words of the Lord, and hear the words of the Lord. Now, let's read verse 17. Verse 17. Okay. And while all Israel passed over on dry ground, the priest who bore the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on the ground in the midst of the Jordan until all the nation finished passing over the Jordan. Now, there's something that we must understand. What's behind the Ark of the Covenant? What is the Ark of the Covenant? What is it all about? The Ark of the Covenant. Because there are some sensitive things that even Jews did not understand about the Ark of the Covenant. made of gold. It had an angel one end, cherubim angel one end, another cherubim angel the other end. What is the Ark of the Covenant? The Ark of the Covenant is more like caring for them to carry the coffin of Christ. And the power behind the Ark of the Covenant in the history of the nation of Israel was the resurrection power of Christ. Jews did not know what were they carrying. They only thought it's because God is with us and God is for us. It wasn't like that. No. They were carrying the risen Jesus with all his resurrection power. Now, the Ark of the Covenant had to rest right inside the riverbed where Jesus will later take it in a form of baptism. I want you to understand this very well. Now listen. When Jesus went to River Jordan, he was not just going to have a bath. He was going to connect with the resurrection power without which he cannot work. Come on. The Ark of the Covenant, when it rested on the riverbed of River Jordan, you know what happened? The two cherubim angels. You want to know who are those? Well, can I explain what is happening here in the Ark of the Covenant? Go double check the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Inside his tomb, there were how many angels? One on the head and of where Christ's head was. Another one at the feet, and they were taking the resemblance of the Ark of the Covenant. And there was nobody or nothing between the two angels. Because the Ark of the Covenant is the full manifestation of the resurrected Christ. I want you to understand the concept of an altar. Right? Now listen very carefully. Listen very much carefully. You can't walk in power if you don't acknowledge nor understand the same power that raised from Christ from the dead. You want to know what was Jesus doing dying at the cross? What was he doing there? He was not only dying for our sins. He was deconstructing a man who's incapable to carry the power of his resurrection. The entire heaven had to destroy the first man they created through Christ. You saw everyone beating Jesus to death. But heaven was saying, the first man who fell into sin is not capable to be a vessel to carry the power of the glory of God. That's why your Bible says, I'm a new creation. Meaning at the cross, God came down to create man again. And for that to happen, he had to kill the first man he has created. And when Christ resurrected, there was so much power such that even the tomb that Christ was buried into, it had where he lied, it had to resemble where two angels will stand to represent the Ark of the Covenant. The angel of the Lord with the countenance of a lightning that struck the grave when Christ resurrected. He came like a lightning. He came wearing a lightning. And when Paul writes about power, he says what? The same power that raised Christ from the dead. You want to know who are the first people who were slain by God's power? There's not believers. It was over 400 Roman centurions who were outside guarding the grave. When they saw the power of resurrection as they were guarding and protecting, the seal of the Emperor Caesar by the grave, that power destroyed not only the seal of a superpower Caesar or king, it destroyed all the system as Christ resurrected, and they dropped like they were dead, slain by the power they saw. Now, let's go back to understanding the altar of the Most High God. It's from the Jordan Valley that when the Ark of the Covenant touched the river bed, it dried up the entire river, right? It looks like it was a miracle. No, it wasn't a miracle. It was a preparation of Christ who will come to fetch it. The spirit of the Ark of the Covenant never departed River Jordan. And Jesus had to take it. That's why Elijah, when he crossed to heaven, it was after Yehoshua, the general of the army of Israel, crossed River Jordan with the high priest carrying the ark. And the protocol in the prophetic says, you must follow the ancient path. He could not be translated to heaven until he goes where the portal is. Now, his problem was Elisha. Elisha never wanted to leave him because he wanted to see his source of power. And he wanted the double portion of his anointing. Elijah did not want Elisha to see until he realized, my time is running out. Let me just go straight to where things take place, to the river, River Jordan. What was he doing there? The spirit of the ark was right inside the river, riverbed, waiting for Jesus. And when his blasted opened, River Jordan opened for the second time. Now, the problem was, heaven knew. Our problem now is Elisha, who can't let go of Elijah. Now, they sent what? Mikava. What is Mikava? A chariot of fire. Many think it's Mikava or a chariot of fire and its horses of fire that took Elijah to heaven. It's not true. Double read it. You'll be shocked. The reason why Mikava released fire on its horses and chariot, it was the preparation of Pentecost. And the fire had to separate the two prophets. Those horses had to go straight between them, like they were holding each other's hands. Hold each other's hand, Elijah and Elisha. Yes, stand up. Now, this one won't let go, and the horses had to come between them and separate the two. And this one, Elijah, so let's say it's Elijah, had to have a new dress. Not Mikava, but the Bible says a wild wind came and took Elijah to heaven, leaving Mikava behind. Double read it, you'll find it. He never went to heaven with the chariots of fire, because the chariots of fire and its horses of fire are still in Israel to date. What is Merkava, or what are those horses and their chariots? It's a sophisticated weapon system of the kingdom of heaven that is not supposed to leave Israel, even to date. It never took Elijah to heaven. The wild wind took Elijah to heaven. We are singing wrong songs. Chariots of fire never left Israel. The 6 days war was not won by the Jews only. Arabs who were fighting Israeli even confessed that they saw something they've never seen, and they had to surrender their guns. What is that? Merkava. That's why they named their tanker, the Israel tanker, fighter tanker, Merkava. A chariot of fire and its horses of fire. Let's come back to this. Let's go back to an altar. I want you to have a clearer understanding. What is the propelling power behind an altar? What was inside the Ark of the Covenant? The power that raised Christ from the dead. There are different things, you must understand. There's an anointing, there's a glory, there are different giftings, there are people with their power, but there's the highest of the high of all the powers. And in the kingdom of darkness is what they call the sum of all fears. If there's anything the devil fear in trembling, is the power that raised Christ from the dead. Not only the name of Jesus. Let's read again. I wanted to connect something, yes. Genesis chapter 28. From verse 19. Let's go back to Jacob while he was asleep. You know, there's something about your bed you must understand, eh? There's something about your bed that you must understand. You must take back your bed, dedicate it to the Lord for a connection. Jacob rose early in the morning, verse 18, early in the morning, and took the stone he had put under his head, and he set it up for a pillar, a monument to the vision in his dream, and he poured oil on its top. He poured oil on its top. What was Jacob doing? He was raising an altar. What was the content? What did he saw? He slept right there by the pillow. And he saw a vision of what? A ladder that connects from his pillowcase to heaven. How is your bed? Does it have a kingdom connection? Is it dedicated? You know, there are two beds you're going to use on earth. Only two beds. The one you sleep on top, that's the one you left home. And the one you're going to sleep under, that's your grave. Come on. The one you sleep on must have a connection in a ladder form that connects you to heaven from your bed. It must have a connection of angels going up and down, meeting your needs, your lacks, your wants. And it must have God on top declaring a prophetic word over your life, like it did to Joshua. The first thing the devil is going to fight is where you sleep. That's the reason why many of you are not sleeping at night. Because your bed is not connected to heaven. Even when you pray, you just pray like a confused somebody. Heavenly Father, as I'm sleeping, I plead the blood of Jesus. I speak protection over my life. I decree and declare that I will wake up tomorrow morning by the power of the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus. Come on, give me a break. That's not a good prayer. How must you pray at night? Daddy, it's been a busy, busy day. Thank you for the ladder that connects through to the open heaven from my house via this bed, from my pillowcase. If you don't mind, Daddy, you can come and visit me in dreams and visions and talk to me. You know, I prefer you to come in dreams and visions because I'm afraid you're too big, Daddy. I fear how big you are. You're so huge. If you don't mind, come and talk to me. Holy Spirit, this is my ladder. It's connected to angels. There are activities from your bed that translates to heaven. Angels, there's a traffic more than anyone during Passover of angels going up and coming down, reporting about an individual who's sleeping on that bed. Because there's an altar that is recognized from your bed that translates into heaven. You want to know why you must sleep? You want to know why you must sleep? How many of you want to know why? You're not only resting. God just wants to awaken your spirit man for some fellowship. Come on. Come on. That's why you must sleep. You must not sleep because you are tired. You must sleep because your spirit man yearns to fellowship with the Father. And for that to happen, the flesh and the soul must be on a state of sleep. And your spirit man gets awakened to get an encounter into the supernatural. But you can't do that. By the way, you haven't dedicated your bed to the Lord. You did not do what Jacob did. He anointed with oil. Your headboard needs some oil. Guys, come on. Why are you quiet? Am I boring today? Can I pray for somebody that you fall under the power without an usher? You know, the carry, I get scared when all these white people look at me like. And they go like. And I say, what did I do now? The joy of the Lord is our strength. We are back from an interval. It was a commercial break. Let's come back now. This is a very heavy sermon that the Lord wanted me to share last night. But there was too much power last night. Now let's come back to this. How is it going to transform you? The altar. From this church. From this church. The Lord has released an oil during the foundational laying down of this. When they were laying the foundation of this church, I was here. And I did what Jacob did. There's a ladder from this church that goes up into the heaven where the Father is, with angels going up and down. But there's no connection with all of you because you did not know You can't partake into a revelation that was never taught, even if it exists. Why am I here? I'm activating what I know. The same applies to your bedroom where you sleep with your wife. You are cold. Don't talk to me. And that's the reason why. Can I shock you? That's the reason why married couples, you must avoid arguing inside your bed. Go argue in the sitting room. There are serious activities of the kingdom of heaven inside your bed. You are disconnecting certain things. This is heavy. If you feel like you want to pick some fight with your partner, just say, let's go and sleep that other room, not in this one. Because there's a ladder here. I want to talk to you and sort you. Come on. Why must you respect your bed? You must respect your bed. Avoid arguments, quarrels on that bed. Avoid solving things. Have a place to solve things. On your marriage bed is where the Lord meets you. Isn't it scary? How many are changing? You're not going to talk like you are a lost cannon of war. Now, angels get confused. This person is supposed to direct us and give us leadership. Where must we go? What must we do? We are all out in all our departments to watch this person fighting with his... Come on. You end up not respecting the kingdom protocol. We do some things because we did not know. We do some things because we did not know. You know, Dr. Kheri, when the Lord called me to order on family and marriage, I repented like I'm a child. I did not know this revelation about the marriage bed. That it connects what? A ladder that goes straight to heaven with angels going up and down on it. And sometimes God will prefer to visit you right there when your soul and your body has rested to speak to you and to do impartations. Angels will love to see you worshiping from your bedroom, and they join in worship and thanksgiving. How's your house? How's your house? How's your house? How's your house? Your house is one of the most sophisticated thing, piece of land, of estate on earth. There's one specific controller angel who dwells in your house and who takes care of an altar with the name of the Lord in your house. He's in the Psalms, and the Psalm says what? The angel of the Lord that encompasses upon those who fear him. Where is he? In your house. You want to know what is your house? A mystery the devil cannot even understand. Because there's this angel of the Lord who has a different kinds of angels who is encompassing around your yard to run the affairs of your life and family. Isn't it not scary? That's when you raise an altar. Once the altar of the Most High God is raised, all kingdom beings in the positive supernatural of heaven come down to rest in your house. You must know what's in your house. You are no longer going to pray for your needs, your legs, your wants. Did you know that ever since you bought that house, you never formally have a meeting with God and invited God for a coffee? And God missed that. I once did that. You know what I did? Father God, in the name of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Ghost, I don't have much in my house, but here is a cup of coffee for the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. I want you to relax there, 12 o'clock midnight, and I'm going to drink my coffee. I want an understanding and a revelation on how you operate. I just want to know how you work. I want to understand your systems. Then the Lord said to me, when you sleep, I will do impartations over you. As years goes by, bit by bit, what I've imparted in your spirit man will dissect my weight. And I felt the impartation that night. God did not spoke a word to me. He just did impartations and left me. And the impartation started to do what? Year on, on Bible study, impartation I received started to reveal how God operates. You can't come here looking for healing while you have left it in your house. Ever since you own that house, you've never invited that angel that encompasses within your home for a meeting, for a faith handshake. I know you are here. Please come in my house. This is where we stay. This is my kids. These are my kids, grandchildren. And this is my cat. This is my dog. And you give them the names. And you know, I know you are taking the affairs of this house. You are welcome. And make it a point that the Ark of the Covenant or the altar of the Most High God doesn't depart from this house. From generation to generation, even when I'm long gone, you'll take care of what came from my loins. You haven't prayed that kind of a prayer. You want to know what? How, what are you praying? I plead the blood of Jesus. Nabria said from room to room, your house is always red. I invite angels. Nabria seketala basata. I speak fire. No koshaya fire. Against all the powers of darkness, you foul spirits, you demonic spirit of so and so, fire! And angels will be like, wow, he has started now. Let's go. Let's go watch. Have you seen these mothers who pray in church? I mean, in their homes, wearing those long skirts. When she turns, when the skirt goes there, the devil will leave everything he's doing to go watch a saint praying. You haven't as yet prayed. You performed all along. You were doing a movie. You were doing a movie right in your house. You haven't as yet prayed. The day you decide to pray, you won't say, Father, I'm asking for travel mercies. You won't pray that prayer. You'll say, caretaker angel, who am I living with? I'm going to Pretoria for his name's sake. Let's go. It's done. And they will have to improvise that if there are incidents on the road, they clear them up. Not Heavenly Father, David disqualified you that you are a beggar. You are not a prayer warrior. By saying, I've been a boy, I've been a man, I'm now old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken by the Lord, nor their offspring begging. You haven't prayed. You're confusing heaven because your prayer is interpreted like you are a hobo. You don't understand you are from royalty. From a church service, what do you expect I did? Do you expect that I prayed and prayed for you? Can I tell you something? I did not pray for the service. I did not pray for you. I spoke to the caretaker angel of who takes care of the altar here to coordinate someone for me, that I must not miss God and invite relevant people. And I coordinated my caretaker angel, the angel that encompasses around those who love me, and say, you know what? I don't want to bore those people. I need something very exciting and interesting. You saw me during the day. I did not prepare any wit for them. I'm only going to crack jokes. And you have to coordinate the sermon. Here I am. Do you think I pray? Fire! I bind and destroy! No. I'm not a performer. How many are changing? Then, once you move into those dimensions, the devil will leave you and say, he knows who she is. He knows who he is. He knows his life. You were not praying like royalty for long, because you did not know what is an altar. The altar in this church has the names of souls who must pass through here, all of them. The altar in this church has angels who must monitor your needs, your legs, your wants while you are seated. The altar in this church connects to all of you and follow you up to your homes and establish itself. The altar in this church knows who's gonna die in this church. And it must awaken that person to be prepared before death. The altar in this church knows who's going to be attacked at night by robbers, and must release angels to reverse that. Sometimes you hear guns and thinking they are thugs. At times they are not thugs. They are angels getting through thugs away from your house. Because the altar in this church is active. I don't fast and pray to be powerful. I fast and pray because I miss God. I don't pray to be powerful. I pray because I love to fellowship with Him that way. Don't tell me I'm not powerful. The same power that raised Christ from the dead dwells within me. Paul writes. That's Romans 8, right? Now tell me, who are you? How much of confusion were you into? If one person in this place can capture this revelation, the devil will go for holiday and say, no, I'm just going to pick up a spot and relax. I'm no longer going to bother those people because they know. We fought the devil until he enjoyed the attention that they are calling on me than the name of the Lord. The word devil dominates the name Jesus. The altar. Now let me tell you this. If Jesus doesn't come in 300 or 400 years, what's going to happen to our children? What do you think is going to happen to our children? Can I shake your foundation a bit? When you die, don't do cremation. Don't cremate your body. You must be buried. You must be planted like a seed. Don't take this Asiatic satanic rituals that are meant for those who are in hell. respect your body. When Elisha died, he was buried. They mistakenly dug his grave to bury a soldier. That soldier touched the bones of Elisha and he came back to life, because your bones will never die. Your receipt, every prayer you've mentioned will monitor generations to come. You will control your family from the grave. And for his name's sake, God will never cut off generations that came out of you. And God will always remember this place. What is this altar? It's that power which will take care of our great-great-grandchildren when we are long gone. What is going to be the activity of the altar prior to the second coming of Jesus? It will awaken even those who are asleep not to miss rapture. Did you know that we are going to know the day we are going to be raptured? It's just that we don't read the Bible properly. Rapture is going to happen on the feast, the feast of the trumpets. Because Christ is going to come out. The Bible says a trumpet will sound. And a trumpet will only come out on a Hebrew biblical calendar of the feast of trumpets. Now, rapture happens, or is going to happen, after the biblical Rosh Hashanah, biblical New Year. Are you still celebrating it? You must keep celebrating Rosh Hashanah in this church, because we are awakening people not to miss rapture. After Rosh Hashanah, the biblical New Year, there's what? Yom Kippur, the holiest of all the holidays. You want to know why the Bible says Jesus is coming for a church without spot and wrinkle? Because during every Yom Kippur, we fast, pray, repent, and start a new year on Yom Kippur. The devil shifted fasting to January for people to miss God on that time. The year doesn't start on January. It starts September, October. And then you fast, confess anything that is not right. You are purified. And then after Yom Kippur is the feast of trumpet, because everybody is ready. And the feast of trumpet, that's when the Bible says no one knows the day nor the hour, because the feast of trumpet is around 2-3 days somewhere there. We don't know which day of the feast of the trumpet that the trumpet will sound. Don't be confused about this. Come on. Let's come back, all. How many of you understand what I'm talking about? Let's come back to the altar now. This altar, it's the epitome of power to heal the sick, to deliver people from demonic power, to release the prophetic word. You must come from an altar when you prophesy. Can I shock you about the prophetic ministry? Not every prophecy comes from the Lord. And it doesn't mean a prophet is in the flesh. You know what God does to a prophet? He dedicates an altar, which we call an office, once. And it must have a sort which is the weight, and God will leave him. It's the sort that will concur or agree with the prophet. Let's go back to the mother to, who's this one? The mother to Samuel. Hannah's prayer. And then while she was praying, where was she? In the temple. And then Eli came in. Who's Eli? A prophet. And Eli was confused that, are you drunk? What's wrong with you? He said, no, I'm not drunk. I've got this need. I want a child. And he said, what? He never said, the Lord says. He said, receive your child. And the office of Eli the prophet responded by giving what? God was not involved. That's the prophet. If I give a prophetic word about a business, I may not have heard from God, but there's an office that will confirm what I'm saying because I'm ordained from it. It's active with angels. It's active with the Holy Spirit. How many of you understand the prophetic now? Do you want to tell me, are you speaking of your mind, A.B.? I'm not speaking of my mind. When I got ordained, my mouth got ordained with a sharp sword. That whatever I speak comes to pass. What's going to happen with you? Yes, please. I'm still going to answer that one. But let me explain it this way. Say, for instance, you get to MediClinic. Somebody is seriously sick. The whole heaven is going to focus on you. What are you going to do? You're not going to say when you pray for him, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus. It's not Heavenly Father's business. Heavenly Father gave you authority and power. And is watching how you display it in authority and power. Answering you, I want to show you something about the prophetic ministry. When men fell into sin, the prophetic office was responsible. If there's any office that took us through into sin, through Adam the prophet. How many of you know that Adam is a prophet? Adam was a prophet. Even when he was given a wife, he prophesied Christ. This is the flesh of my flesh, the bone of my bones. That's a prophecy. For that reason, a man shall leave his father's house and cleave to his. And it caused Christ to come from out of his father's house to cleave to his wife, the church. Into the future. What I'm saying is, in the prophet's office, the day he got ordained, the word of the Most High God dwells there to agree with him in everything he's saying. And we must always be careful that a prophet is in line with the doctrine of the word. That is the reason why you got to understand what God did to the prophetic. There's a judgment that befell a prophet. Adam fell into sin under the office of a prophet, right? The whole world was introduced to sin. From where? The prophetic office. Who's the largest prophet, highest prophet who ever lived? Jesus. And then who's the most powerful prophet that Jesus recognized that there's no other prophet above him? John the Baptist. What did they do to his head? They beheaded him. Why did they beheaded him? It was a prophetic action that there's no longer any prophet who'll show his head anymore. The prophetic office was operating without a head because there's a new head that the prophetic office must raise. Christ Jesus, the head of the church. Now let's come back to this. Answering you now. During the prophetic, that's the reason why God must emotionally train a prophet, emotionally mature, intellectually. That's why Jesus entered the ministry at the age of 30. Prophetic symbol of maturity. And Holy Spirit came upon him like a... I'll show you something that will shock you. Have you ever seen a baby pigeon? It's rare to see a baby pigeon flying. You want to know why? Because once a pigeon is little, it must be in the nest for how long? For 40 days and 40 nights. And after that, the pigeon will fly. And when Jesus, Holy Spirit came upon Jesus like a dove, what was he doing? He was saying to Jesus, I'm going to mature you in 40 days. Follow me to the wilderness. After his fasting of 40 days and 40 nights, he was matured. Then he entered the ministry as a prophet. What was happening in the wilderness was he was tempted, tested, and tried. And he was proven to stand the test. After that fasting, the Bible says what? And Jesus was hungry. And another version says, when you proceed, the Bible says what? Angels were close by to minister to him. To minister to him what? Give him food, check his BP, check all his things. How is he physically? Is he ready to live? And all that. Don't fast the Jesus Christ fasting for dry fasting 40 days and 40 nights. You will die. Angels were close by to monitor his health needs. And then after that, he matured. Heaven gave him the assurance hand from the Father that you are matured and you are going to do everything in 3 years. Because you must die younger. You are a lamb. Now let's come back to that question. I've seen many prophets say, this is what the Lord says. And as a prophet, the Spirit of the Lord said, it wasn't me. Can I shock you? It's rare for God to speak a word to a prophet. It's not always like that. That's the reason why during the ordination of a prophet, my brother, God leaves his word. And a prophet must go through the leadership of a dove to be matured emotionally and in all walks. You want to know why I disappeared for a long time? I felt like I'm a boy and I need to mature and grow. I felt there are certain things in my life that will embarrass me later. And I needed to go through a tough encounter so that when I reappear before you again, I will have known my business and story. And I will have been tempted, tested, and tried. Come on. Now, when, say he's a prophet, right? He's a prophet, right? There's going to be an ordination into his office, right? The word of the Lord will be upon him and into his office. But Holy Spirit must take him through maturity first. The 40-day encounter of a pigeon is maturing a prophet to perfection. So that when he appears before people, there must not be noises, questions, this and that. Is it understood? And then after that, when he speaks a word from the prophet's office, there's rain, there's hail, there's fire. Now there's what? The power that raised Christ from the dead. When he prophesies from his office, Everything comes from the office to the people. God spoke once upon his life. Like when God created, he never kept speaking. He spoke how many times? Once to trees. And trees were produced what? Fruits with what? Seeds to sustain what God spoke. The word in him must align his prophetic anointing. Is it understood? That's how God perfects and matures a prophet. And can I show you again? The prophetic is the most powerful office that can guide the church to the highest of the high, and that can mislead again the church if the prophet is not matured by the Spirit. And a prophet cannot be matured by teachings only. He needs to be alone in the wilderness and have kingdom encounters with the Spirit of the Most High God, and he'll be perfected and he'll be matured. Because exactly the way Satan hijacked Adam is what Satan wants to do to every prophet. You have to understand something about Satan. He knows the art of war. That the battle from within is more effective and powerful than the battle from far. The close proximity war is more deadlier. That's the reason why I said, Dr. Harry, we must sit down with all these people and start teaching them how system operates. Come on. Yes. Now, when a prophet says, the word of the Lord said, what is the word from? Is it from heaven? Is the word of impartation when the Lord commissioned his office. Is the word that will not depart. How many of you understand what I'm talking about? When God ordains a prophet, he leaves what? His word in his office. And he must not depart from the office. And the protocol of every prophet is to raise what? One head. Who's that head? Christ Jesus, the head of the church. Because in the New Testament, the highest of all prophets got beheaded. Why was he beheaded? Because there's a new head that the prophetic ministry must raise more than individuals. What do you see all over the world? You see prophets raising themselves. The day God taught me how the prophetic head was chopped to be replaced by Christ, the head of the church, I stopped making posters. I stopped making posters because there's a man whose head I must raise. I'm a headless prophet. How many understand? Do you understand better now? I may not answer it all, but do you understand it? I see. Is it a hand? You're getting blessed, my brother. I thought he's talking. He was just like, this is tough. Now listen very carefully. God is going to raise many prophets amongst you. You must know what is it all about. And there are excitement encounters. There are power encounters. And there are things in the prophetic that will change you permanently. And there are men who will confuse you by giving you more glory. And there are people who will start clapping hands for you. You must know one thing. Never allow anybody to deflect you from the calling. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Elijah. Between Elijah and Moses, did you know? Between Elijah and Moses, one had to become a pastor of Jesus. Did you know that? Now, Moses had challenges, emotional challenges. He was not emotionally matured. And God said to him, I'll be upon the rock. You don't strike the rock, you point, because God's feet will be upon the rock. And because of anger and emotion, what did Moses do? Because of what? Mood swing changes and proving a point. And God said, I disqualified you from entering into the promised land. You will see it, but you won't enter. And in his place, he raised who? Elijah. And Elijah never died. Jezebel said, I want to behead him. The angel of the Lord said, your journey is still long. Eat. Which journey? Into the timeline he has to travel. And he was changed a name so that they don't persecute and kill him for prematurely. His name code was John. That's why the Bible says what? And the spirit of Elijah dwelt in him. What was his dress code? His dress code was like Elijah. What was his food menu? The food menu of locust and honey, Elijah's. Where was he operating? Where Elijah used to operate, River Jordan. Why didn't he perform a single miracle, yet he's called the greatest prophet? You won't see him healing, you won't see him delivering anybody in the Bible, because he must not overshadow Christ. How did he do that? He went to Christ to say, Lord, I decrease as you increase. Be more visible in the prophetic. I'm not going to compete with you to a level of trying to outcompete you. You are my king. And then he took over the reins of the prophetic and gave them to Christ. Now, all prophets who come after John the Baptist must follow the protocol of giving the glory, the power to Christ. You can't flow as a church if you don't understand the altar. You can't flow into the prophetic if the prophetic anointing revolves around a gifting. It must start from where? The office. Wait to be matured by the Lord. Thank you, my brother. God richly bless you. All those who are joining from the television, God bless you for our time. God richly bless you. Switch it off. Now listen very carefully. There's an altar that exists here. I'm not raising it. It's been here. I was sharing to Dr. Harry and Danny Sterner what I did when they were building this church. What about your home and your bed? What's your view about your bed now where you sleep? Are you still going to argue like that? Don't talk to me. Please don't touch me. Are you going to do that again? When you get home, what are you going to do? You are going to your bed and say what? I did not know there's an altar. Now, it's showtime! Father God, you are not my stepfather. Hambria Shikata, you are my dad. Now you are going to the headboard and say, connect me. The better connection, a ladder that goes straight, zoom, shh. People are going all over the place looking for portals, leaving a portal from their bedroom. A portal that goes straight to heaven, where you are zoomed like angels with A staircase must go. It's going to connect to your bedroom. How many are receiving the grace of that? How many are receiving the grace of that? Receive the grace, receive the grace, receive the grace. All the, you know, as the world comes to an end, Dokheri, I've observed one thing about Americans. The whole world is going to be obsessed about aliens. And they are. Everywhere, we want to see aliens. Ah, it's about time. There are too many angels released because there are sermons which were bad not to be taught and not to be preached, lest they interrupt God's time and mature people faster unnecessarily. These are these types of sermons. You're going to raise an altar in your house. You're going to say, the angel of the Lord. Look for me for that verse. The angel of the Lord that encompass around those who fear the Lord. You are going to invite him. You are not going to say Gabriel. You are not going to say Michael. You don't need those ones. You need the one. I know you. I know you. I know you very well. You are about to call Michael. Michael, come on. It's showtime. I know you. Who are you going to call? The angel of the Lord that encompass around those who fear him. He's structured and made by God to understand your what? Your needs, legs, wants, and your weaknesses without striking you. Where is it? Verse 7. The angel of the Lord encompass around those who fear him. Who refer, worship him with awe, and each of them he delivers. Now, this angel is structured such that he'll understand and bear with you in your weaknesses. Now, can I shock you? Angel Gabriel is not going to take any nonsense from your mouth. He strikes you once, and you become dumb. Ask the father to John the Baptist. He spoke to him once and said, "Say, you're going to have a baby boy." And he said, "How? Because, you know, she's no longer seeing her periods, you know. You got to understand something. In biology, this," he said, "Hey, it's the last time you speak." Shoo! They don't have time to play. He's the one who represents the Most High God when he speaks. He cannot come to you. He'll kill you. Michael cannot come to you. You'll make him angry and God will interfere. Jews want vexed the angel of the Lord. And God came down to say, you've angered the angel, my angel who bears my name. Who's the angel that bears God's name? Michael. If he comes to you and you make him angry, God interferes. You are in trouble. You need the angel that encompasses around those who fear him. He's structured to understand your shortcomings and your strengths and your weaknesses and even strengthen you. Leave those top ones alone. Mind the one who's left there. He's in your house. He's been in your house ever since you got born again. You never greeted him. You are very rude. You just wake up, huh? And the angel will ask, did he greet any one of you guys? And they will reply, he only greeted Jesus. But guys, Jesus is in heaven. He left us here. What do we do? Where is he going to? He's going to church. Do we have any connection with the pastor who's preaching? No, the pastor's preaching is not yet coming. Let's prepare that one from Bolivia, AB. In 2021, he will come back and teach them that they've been ignoring us going to heaven. They've been leaving us behind from their home, going to the Father in heaven. Heavenly Father! I know you're going to answer me. An angel says, it's showtime, leave him alone. He'll be so disappointed and come back. The father is busy there. You've been rude to systems that guards you. How do you leave your home? Lock the gates. Marike, lock the gates. Marike will do what? Lock the gates. And after that, what are you going to do? I'm going to sleep. Lord Jesus! Yes. And the angels will say, as he calls the name of the Lord, let's bow down. Every knee shall bow. I worship you. It's been nice. Thank you, Lord. You've been good. And angels will say, what about us? Because we are supposed to be this person's colleague. Father, I feel so alone. Listen, she's lying. And angel will say, Father God, we are still here. She's not talking to us when you pray. Father, I feel so alone. Sometimes I feel like somebody can hug me. I'm so alone, Lord. I don't have any friends anymore. And angel will say, Father God, she's lying. We've been here all along. What she's been doing, she was so mean. She never greeted us in 15 years. Hey, this one, this girl, and angels will look at you and say, this girl, she's reporting us to God. How many are changing? Sometimes you need a comedian like me to preach and teach the word so that you overlook your time. This is kosher salt, paref, right? It's the buffalo one, the paref, the kosher salt that the Jews used from the ancient time. You know, when Christ said for you are the salt of the earth, what did he mean? Sold is from the Latin word sal. Sold used to be sal, a salary to Roman soldiers after they go to war. They'll give them bags of sold as their pay, because sold was equivalent to gold in price. Now the word salary, it's from sold, which was paid to Roman soldiers when they were fighting. When Christ said for you are the salt of the earth, he was comparing you to the gold and a salary that excites every man or woman's emotion in his legs and wants. Doc Harry, we once made a covenant of salt, remember? It's you and Calvin who taught me that. Yes, at Moholoholo. And who sprinkled salt? Was that you? Did you do it to them? Did you sprinkle upon them salt and told them? When they were eating, when Jesus said you're the salt of the earth, you said he was? It was during eating time. And he was saying to his disciples, you are the salt of the earth. If you lose your saltiness, people will do what? Trample upon you and you lose your value. You know what does it mean? If any of you goes wrong, those who made a covenant of salt with him must put him into order. And if he refuses, he's rejecting the covenant of salt. He'll be taken out for powers in darkness to throttle upon him. Is it not true, Calvin? Didn't we do this? We did. That's the reason I'll always keep coming here, because our covenants are deeper. Now, this soul of the earth is the entire body of Christ. when Elisha was told that the well here causes miscarriage, what did he say? Give me a new vessel and put salt in it. What is a new vessel? A church of Christ. And put those who represent Christ inside. They will change anything that causes barrenness, that causes miscarriages, that causes people to lose a lot in their cities. And immediately after throwing salt, the water did not taste that salty. It tasted sweet and nice to drink without causing miscarriages. And as I do this, every businessman who collapsed and fell will rise again. Because the altar in this place is active more than the prophetic word I can give to you. A ladder with angels going up and down, it's monitoring all of you, of your needs, likes, and wants. At home, the angel of the Lord that encompasses around your house, he's waiting for you after a service, church service, that you report to him that you had a word, and you invite him. You don't pray to him, you invite him as a colleague so that you start working together. Can I pause? I've preached and taught. Finish it off. God bless you, ladies and gentlemen. We'll meet again. Doc Harry will call me again, right, Dad? He's an old man. I told you I'm a firstborn, eh? Carol is the secondborn. And I told you the mystery of why am I black. I told you why, right? Immediately after I was born, Harry left me on the sun. And the sun burned me. That's why I look black. God richly bless you. I just want to say to you, there's a connecting covenant here. And I'm more of a brother in here. Kevin knows me very well. It's just that I had to go out to mature as a prophet. The Lord said from 2016, 2017, you must leave everyone. I will mature you. You must be tested, tempted, and tried. And you will mature. My dove, Holy Spirit will come like a dove upon you. You must have deep encounters alone. God bless you. God bless you.
Amen. Church, it's just interesting to know that the original Bible, when Mary went into the tomb to look for Jesus, they say there were two angels, the one at the top and the one at the feet. Three of the four Gospels say there's only one angel. Dis die katholieke wat dit geskryf het. Die Bible said there's only one angel. That's wrong. There were two angels. Because I know some of us will go back to Matthew and read, and they say there was one angel in the tomb, and then we start doubting about the word. You read the word of Yah, there were two angels. Almal verstaan hoekom ek dit sê? Because if we check that, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for all our brother. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for opening our understanding. Lord, as we go home, we will dedicate ourselves, our places, our beds, our family to you. Expecting you to from tonight come down and interact with me. Here ons het dit so nodig. Ons het U nodig. En ons sal wees hoe Samuel word en sê, Lord, just speak, I'm listening. Thank you for the time that we could spend together tonight. Let us all go home in peace and in excitement that this is the beginning of a new season in your life. God has just given, He said, freely I give, freely you receive, freely you give it back. Mag dit so wees in ons lewe. Amen, amen, amen.